Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Amber May Show. I'm so glad that you're joining me today because I have a really unique, interesting show for you. I have Dr. Clinton Ohlers joining me today, and he's with Safe Blood, and we're going to be talking about his experience that he had when he was in China. So he was in China during the beginning of the outbreak of COVID. So we're going to find out his perspective. What did he see? What did he experience? I think it's going to be fascinating. You're going to like it. And then he has so much information regarding blood and the mRNA blood. And it's a wealth of knowledge. I think you're really going to like this episode. So please like, share, and subscribe. Please like, share, and subscribe. There's a lot of information that we're giving out today. So I hope you like that. With that being said, this show might become a downer at some point. But I always want to give you hope, and I didn't say it in the interview, so I want to say it right now. If you would like to get a detox from the vaccine after you hear the presentation today, I recommend going to Dr. Meehan at meehanmd.com, M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com. And they have a protocol there where you can detox from the mRNA vaccine. So if that's something of interest to you, go to meehanmd.com. So I just want to throw that out there. Great program that they had developed. I love Dr. Meehan. Well, if you like, share, and subscribe, I always add more information to Telegram. Please join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social, Amber May, Frank Social, Amber May, and Clout Hub. So find me on those locations. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. The easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com and click the donate button. Please check the links in the description. I have partnered with companies to save me money. And I would really appreciate you to check that out and save me some money, especially during the holidays. That might be a place to save some money, like commandersartist.com and beautiful patriotic art. And if you use promo code AMBER at checkout, you're going to save some money and you can give a beautiful gift to her as a Christmas present. And there's also more information on the website, theambermayshow.com, and there's a promo section there so you can get your promos there. Well, without any further ado, I'd love to welcome you. And, well, without any further ado, I'd love to bring on Dr. Ohlers. Well, without any further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Clinton. Excited to welcome back my friend, Dr. Clinton Ohlers. Welcome back to the program.
Great to be here, Amber. Thanks for having me.
So many exciting things have happened to you. You got to be on the Dell Big Tree show, and we're going to get into that. But I wanted to welcome you back because we had some audio issues at the Reawaken Tour. It's so hard when you're on location and you just, the noise, the ambient noise, and sometimes the equipment doesn't work very well. So I wanted to make sure you come on because what you're doing for a living, what you're doing to help America is so critical because you work for BloodSafe and we're going to get into that. What is BloodSafe? Why does that matter to me? We're going to get into that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, actually, the name of the company is Safe Blood. And the full name is Safe Blood Donation. Safe. No worries.
Twisted that around.
Absolutely.
And BloodSafe.
Yeah.
Safe Blood sounds a lot better than BloodSafe.
Yeah, well, the idea is you've got the idea right. And what we are doing is we do primarily is we match un-mRNA vaccinated blood donors with recipients who need blood transfusions, but say they haven't had the mRNA vaccine or they've had it and they don't want more exposure to spike or free-floating mRNA. They want to be guaranteed they won't have that re-exposure. That's who we connect with. We connect them with donors so that they can have that peace of mind that they're not going to have blood that's contaminated in that way. I hate to put it that way because I know a lot of well-meaning people all over, you know, friends, colleagues of mine, got the mRNA vaccine, thinking it was the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. But now we know that there's so many problems with it, and more studies keep coming out. Even since, you know, at the time that you and I were speaking last back in August, studies were coming out right then to really show us even further problems with this, specifically in relationship to the blood. So a lot of people going in for a blood transfusion, they've got a lot of anxiety. They say, I've never been in, received an injection for the mRNA. So how could it affect me if I get blood that's, say, 70, 80% likely to be from an mRNA vaccinated donor? And for some of those, it's very bad, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's, you know, we have had a number of deaths from blood transfusions and from mRNA vaccinated donors to non-mRNA. So we really want to protect those people and protect their health.
And we're going to get into that in just a second, but I thought your background was fascinating. You are a doctor. And what I found fascinating, you're a doctor of history, but you study in the science, the history of science, which I found fascinating. And then you spent time in Hong Kong. So I want to talk about that a little bit. What was that like going to Hong Kong?
Hong Kong is a wonderful city. Yeah, we loved living in Hong Kong. We were there for 2 years. I was there as essentially a visiting professor, a visiting research or assistant research professor at the University of Hong Kong. And we were on there on a 2-year contract. And so we were there right at the beginning of the outbreak of COVID. I mean, I remember I was sitting in a piazza talking to a woman who was a lawyer from the mainland, and we were both discussing what we thought about when this came to Hong Kong and were we concerned, or, you know, we both decided, well, hey, given our age and the fact we have no comorbidities and this really is primarily affecting the old and elderly, that we weren't too concerned. Later, we realized, you know, I have children, and my wife and I realized that the risk of getting quarantined separately from our children was simply too high to stay mm-hmm. in Hong Kong. And we also had contacts on the mainland, and we were getting information from them through friends that it was really much worse in Hubei province than the Chinese were letting on. And of course, that matched.
Much worse how, per se?
Well, so what we heard was that it probably wasn't hundreds. Remember, this was early February, right? Mm-hmm. And late January, early February of 2020. And the numbers were that there were not even yet 300 people that had died. But the word that we got back was that, no, it was much higher, that it was, you know, thousands that had died and probably, you know, over 1 million people were already infected. And so, and part of that was that the report we heard was that they were burning bodies in parking lots because the crematoriums were too backed up in the areas that the Wuhan virus, as it was called then, had broken out. So
they call that over there, or you're taking our language of the Wuhan virus, call it that over
there? Yeah. I mean, it, this was not controversial in Hong Kong. Yeah, I mean, that's how you named viruses, right? The virus originated in Wuhan. It was affecting Wuhan. We didn't know that it was affecting anywhere else. So it was the Wuhan virus.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, at the very beginning, we were just referring to this outbreak of this, you know, this outbreak that was going on. Mm-hmm. But if I remember correctly, yeah, we were calling it the Wuhan virus in the beginning. And, you know, so many things that became controversial in the United States were not controversial at all in Hong Kong. So it wasn't controversial to refer to the Wuhan virus. What else would you call it? It was not controversial to be concerned that it may have come from a laboratory. I mean, there's only a laboratory almost next door to the wet market that it supposedly came from that we knew was experimenting with this kind of virus research. So it took coming back to the United States for me to be told that I was in tinfoil hat territory for becoming increasingly convinced by the evidence that it came from the laboratory. Mm-hmm. You'll love this. It was not controversial to want to stop traffic between Wuhan and Hong Kong, right? If you remember, Trump came out and said, we're stopping air traffic from China, and mm-hmm. Pelosi and all the usual suspects came out talking about what a racist he was.
Yes, exactly where I was going to go with it. Yep.
That was amazing to us, because sitting in Hong Kong, what had happened there? Well, there was a high-speed rail from Wuhan directly to Hong Kong, came twice a day. It takes a 3-hour trip on high-speed rail. And so we had these trains coming in twice a day. Well, the doctors in Hong Kong, the medical community, said, this makes no sense. Why are we allowing travel from an infected area? We don't know the severity of this crisis, but we know it's bad. And why are we allowing this? So finally, getting no reception from the Hong Kong government, which is basically a puppet government of the CCP at this point, the doctor simply said, if this train is not stopped by midnight on such and such a date, we're going on strike. And then when the government still didn't respond, the people started backing up the doctors. And so remember, Hong Kong is Cantonese speaking, right? And not Mandarin. So they're culturally a little bit different than the mainland, and they view themselves differently. And of course, China wants to promote this idea of greater China right now, even to include, if they can, Taiwan. And so China did not want to stop the rails. And the Cantonese came out and said, the Hong Kongers came out and said, look, if that train line is not stopped by midnight on the date that the doctors gave, we will back the doctors up by coming out and physically tearing up the tracks.
Ooh. Okay.
And guess what?
That was serious.
Stopped. Yes, the train stopped. So that's how serious Chinese were taking it between other Chinese, right? But you know, you have to come to America to find out that that kind of reaction is racist.
Of course. Now, over here in the United States, we were seeing images of people in China just dropping dead on the street.
Yes.
Is that anything you witnessed in China?
That was nothing that I witnessed in Hong Kong. Bear in mind that there's very little COVID in Hong Kong. Now, later, there's been a lot of speculation. Were those real? Were those reports just designed to scare the West? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, but I would say the Chinese work very long hours. They're very hardworking people, and they go everywhere on foot. So many of them do. Like, I didn't own a car when I was in Hong Kong. So everywhere was public transportation and foot travel, right? And, mm-hmm. and that was one of the great things about it, mm-hmm. right? You, everyone in Hong Kong was in pretty decent physical shape, quite
yeah. often.
And we loved it, not having to have a car. And so, but it wouldn't surprise me if somebody, an elderly person in particular, who is now fighting to go to work with what they think is a cold, which is actually creating, you know, pulmonary clotting, could collapse. Right. So those, I know there's been skepticism about those images. They were believable to me. And then at the time that we heard that the pandemic was much worse than Chinese were letting on, you know, this was funny because we're getting word back from friends in America. Oh, that the Chinese have been handling it so well. The CCP has been handling it so well. And we're in Hong Kong going, no one here trusts the CCP. I highly doubt that they are being forthright. And of course, if you remember, we saw those images of like this hospital that they were building in Wuhan, and they're going to build it in a week. And there's like, I counted them, there was 40 excavators there. You know, this is building on a scale that Americans just, I mean, are not even acquainted with, 40 excavators. And I thought, why would they need a hospital in a week with 40 excavators if Wuhan's a city of 11.5 million? If they've only had 250, 300 deaths, like, that's kind of isn't that a drop in the bucket?
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Are you looking for a doctor you can trust? Then look no farther than Dr. Meehan, and you can find him at meehanmd.com. That's M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com for all your health care, supplemental, and telemed needs. And you know what my family did? We shopped at his supplemental store and we purchased these two items to help support our gut health. These are supporting our gut health because you know what? The gut health is so important. Our immune system is in the gut. Our serotonin's made in the gut. And so the most Americans, if you know, have a leaky gut. So if you're looking to improve your health, whether you're improving your gut health or your immune system, or you just have something that you need to talk to a physician about, go to meehanmd.com. That's M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com. And while you're there, make sure you use the promo code AMBER so you can save some money. And while you're at the website, make sure you set up your telemed appointment. And then check out all his supplements that he offers as well. That's NeehanMD.com. Use promo code Amber at checkout.
Hey, everybody. This is Cash Patel, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
When you have your holiday, you could get the beloved cheesecakes. They're so delicious. I'm so excited. We have family over. We're going to enjoy this wonderful, delicious cheesecake. And if you use promo code Amber, you could save some money at checkout.
It was so delicious. I was only going to have one piece. But I had her cut it. I had her cut the piece just like the sliver. I got to have three pieces.
What did you think about the cheesecake?
I loved it. It was really rich and really yummy. I had the chocolate and it was very, very good. And I really appreciate that we got to eat some. Thank you.
Hey, so when it's the next celebration in your household, or you have company coming over, or you just have a craving for cheesecake, make sure you visit belovedcheesecake.com. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout to save some money. That's belovedcheesecakes.com. Remember, promo code Amber at checkout. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So when we got the reports that they were burning bodies in parking lots, we then verified it to the best that we could through another contact in Beijing. We had a domestic helper that's very common in Hong Kong, and we loved her. She was like part of the family, and her sister was in Beijing. And we said, you know, could you ask your sister, does this sound right? And she said that's what she was hearing too. So, you know, you just have to make your decisions based on the information you have at the time. Nobody knew how bad this pandemic was going to be, but the bottom line was we couldn't be separated from our children. That could be a broken arm. Like if somebody fell and broke their wrist, we could have a child in the hospital and we're not allowed in. So, and a lot of expats left for that reason. Now, what I will say is that before I get on that, we left very quickly. Like we made this decision, you know, based on this news. We were quite surprised by the news, but it made sense of everything now that we were seeing. And so we heard the news on a Thursday, made the decision to leave on a Friday. And by Monday, following Monday evening, 3 days later, we were on a plane back to the United States.
And it's good you did it when you did, because like we talked about earlier, Donald Trump did shut down air flights from China to the United States. So you were fortunate to make it back home before that happened.
Yeah, well, we didn't know what was going to happen that way, right? So you're playing with all of these unknowns. And here's the thing, though. I said this to my wife. I said, honey, we also have to consider the fact that this very well may very well have come from the Wuhan lab. And by then, we already knew that there was a Lancet article out that had tried to track or that tracked the original people that were known to have gotten COVID, and 40% of them were never at that wet market or had contact with people from the wet market that had been to the wet market. And on top of that, including patient zero, who we understood to be patient zero, the first person to apparently come down with this hadn't been to the Wuhan market. So that had already ruled out in our minds that this was very likely from the Wuhan mm-hmm. market. And the only other likely contender was the bio lab. And so I said to my wife, look, we have to keep in mind that this is either a gain of function project that leaked, or it was a bioweapon. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to be on the other side of the world away from family when we find out what that means.
Yeah. I mean, how old were your kids at the time?
You know, they're all pretty young, right? They were all under 10.
Ooh, yeah. So even more scary for sure, because you don't want to be separated from your kids in a foreign land. Not that it really was much better here, because they separated families all the time. Here in the United States, people were not allowed to go see their loved ones. A lot of medical kidnapping came out into the forefront, which is good on one hand, because I have learned that medical kidnapping with minors have been happening for quite some time. And most people don't know that it exists here in the United States. And I've had some families come on the program and talk about their experience with having their kids and CPS involved in the medical kidnapping that takes place across the United States. And then we saw it with adults here in the United States for the first time, and it kind of brought everything to the forefront. On one hand, COVID was a big blessing because we've learned a lot about vaccines in general, because people saw if this one vaccine vaccine, which is a gene therapy, could be this deadly, this bad. What about the other vaccines?
Well, you're 100% right. And on that same episode of The High Wire I was on, I was followed by Dr. Peter McCullough, and he formally came out on that episode and said, we have to question the whole childhood vaccine schedule and really put a halt and re-examine vaccines, because he went through that same process. He thought, if they have gotten something this bad through the FDA, and have even gotten it approved for children, this isn't a brand new playbook. What else have they been foisting on us with no liability to the big pharma companies producing these products and really no recourse from the American people? And from what I understand, what he is finding is not good. He even came out and said Dr. Wakefield was right. And
yes,
you know, my journey into this had
been, for anyone who doesn't know who Dr. Andy Wakefield is, he is the one who came out with documentaries about vaccine called Vax, found the link between autism and the mRNA vaccine. So that's who Dr. Andy Wakefield is.
Yeah, and he was the person really right around, I think, in the early 2000s, who had said, we're seeing all of these patients in his, because he did gastrointestinal things. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that occurred. He'd have this autism linked with gastrointestinal issues. And he didn't know why he was getting so many patients at first who were autistic, you know, and autistic parents coming to him. And so he started looking for, well, what might be the link? And he traced it back to the MMR vaccine. And then he really received an early hatchet job. Now that we have cancel culture, we know what happened to him. We understand. Mm-hmm. But then I think we were much more naive. And I think, as you said, there was a good thing that came out of COVID-19 in the last 3 years, right? There is a silver lining on a very big, ugly cloud. And that is that our days of naivete are over, mm-hmm. right? And they should be over. And more people are waking up. Mm-hmm. And we now know how misled and how malevolent the big pharma industry has been, and has been for years. Mm-hmm. There's a great, for anyone interested, there's a fantastic interview with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that Joe Rogan did. And it's worth listening to that in its entirety, because if you had any naivete left, you won't have it after the end of that video.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Peter McCullough came to Arizona's on legislative committee, and they were talking about COVID, and they had Aaron Seary come, and attorney Aaron Seary was the one who got the five amendments before the 70 something years. So Pfizer knew what they had done, they knew about COVID vaccine, but he and his firm have been dealing with the vaccine quite time. So he knows quite a bit about childhood vaccine schedule. And when he appeared on the committee, he was able to pull there and heard it. And he was able to hear all the evidence that Aaron Seary has found in the court of law, because he has to go in front of a judge and he has to and experts in these vaccines and doctors and things like that. So he got to hear evidence presented in our legislative hearing that just happened. And if anyone wants to hear about the legislative hearing, what Dr. Peter McCullough heard about the childhood vaccines, what he was providing us during his presentation on vaccines in general and the history of vaccine, you can go to amberjo.com, go to the resource, and find the childhood vaccine page that I have developed. I have had those, you can go back and it's very important, very informative. He points one of the things at one day old base is hepatitis B vaccine. You know the testing on that? 5 days.
Wow.
That's it. And they gave it to a brand new baby. Wow. So lot to learn about vaccines and childhood vaccines, a lot for us to know. So
Amber,
you were...
If you can give me just a second, I'm going to switch. I realized I'm on Wi-Fi. I'm getting some compression, so I'm going to switch to the Ethernet. And if for some reason it might be me.
I've been having internet issues.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I'll do a quick switch. It should be seamless, but if not, I'll be right back in.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, good. So a question?
Yeah.
So did you have a question before I cut you off there? You're about to say something.
Oh, I was going to say, did you want to talk about your interview on the Dell Bigtree show, Highwire?
Oh, well, what I would say is that I feel that was actually something of a historic episode. And it was historic, certainly for us, to have Safe Blood on the show. That was really wonderful exposure for what we're doing. But I think it was also historic because of what the news that followed with the reporter Jeffrey Jackson, and then Peter McCullough that we just referenced coming out publicly with his concerns about childhood vaccines. I mean, this is really important, and it's really a tipping point, because as much as people say might malign Andrew Wakefield is supposedly the only doctor who was against vaccines, and he was the only one who had the courage really to come out and to stay out, right? And then of course they destroyed his career for it. Now to have somebody of McCullough's caliber out about this and facing and looking at that evidence, which is enormous body of evidence, which has been suppressed. That is a real turning point.
And Dr. Sherry Tenpenny too has been out and trying to educate the public on the truth behind childhood vaccines. And she has a lot of compelling research.
Yeah, I really believe it's just an issue of truth versus narrative, right? Anyone looking at the data really thoroughly, especially now, there's only one conclusion you can make. Anybody who wants to remain popular and respected at cocktail parties is probably still clinging to the narrative.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyhow, yeah, there was a lot of great things we talked about. You know, we talked about the origins of Safe Blood, how, you know, what it was that our founder, George Della Pietra, was looking at under the microscope that let the European naturopaths know that there is going to be a big issue, right? That was back in August of 2021. In fact, I can even do a screen share if you'd like, and I'll show you kinds of things that we were seeing there. And but the important thing is that they were here. I'll bring it right up. You can see it here. This is a still shot now that this is in German. So on the left, we have a Moderna shot. And on the right, we have that's blood under, this is just under magnification, like say a medical school microscope. This is not serious remote technology of any sort. It's very clear. And I've even seen YouTube videos of people, you know, one fellow said my roommate got the shot, so I looked at his blood under a microscope. Same thing.
Wow.
Now this is called dark field microscopy. So what it has is a, you know, just a filter so that it's easier to see what you're looking at. And on the right, you see blood as it should be. And on the left, you see how stringy it is.
And that coincides with what a lot of embalmers were finding as they were trying to embalm bodies.
Absolutely. Now, what we're looking at here is, you know, this is called Reload. I'll go ahead and bring it up on screen here. This is actually a blood drop. If you go to our website, you know, you'll see.
It's very reduced in the whole body. Man can sich ja vorstellen, dass solche
in the background. But so that's what it looks like. It's called Reload. This isn't the only reason you'll see Reload, but what happened was that the naturopaths were seeing this over and over and over again, and a number of the sort of markers that they look for that tells them there's a serious problem. And as George describes it, he said, I really hadn't seen the whole combination of things except in, you know, stage 4 cancer patients. And now they were seeing it in people who were apparently even completely non-symptomatic. So I wanted to know, well, how representative is this? Is this 20% of the people who have been vaccinated, 30%? Obviously, we want to protect people from blood that's having problems due to this vaccination. But what is the severity of the risk? Well, this was what was so alarming. The European naturopaths looking at this had found it in 100% of the samples that they examined.
Whoa.
Yeah. So everyone was experiencing something from that data. Now, I'd love to see a study, I'd say, of 10,000 people or something like that. So we don't have something that large. All we know is that 100% of who they looked at had it, and that alarmed them. And so within a month, George had founded Safe Blood, because we knew if this is what we're seeing, there's going to be a problem with the blood supply. And as you pointed out, certainly there was very soon. Of course, you can see how stringy that is, how slow moving it is. What it should look like is, let's see, there's a pinprick. There we go. That is blood under magnification that is healthy. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
I mean, look how, look how the light goes through it better. See how it's moving. Sure. It can overlap, right? But it's not stuck and clung together.
Yep.
And so what that reminds me of is what the researcher, Dr. Pretorius in South Africa, what she had found was that when she went ahead and removed, I'm going to stop the screen share here. When she went ahead and removed, the platelets from the blood to see how does blood respond if the platelets, which, you know, are what cause clotting, are removed in the presence of spike protein. The thing is, in the presence of spike protein, it's still aggressively clotted. So what we're looking at there is, you know, a form of microclotting. So as you mentioned, the embalmers, right? In the sort of the arc of what happened following the rollout here and following people beginning to see this, looking at the blood under magnification, embalmers started reporting an anomaly. They had already been reporting these long stringy fibrinogen clots, a fibrinogen that were killing people, right? Extending, you know, filling entire arteries. And for anyone who's seen the video on that, that's extraordinary. There's a Dell Bigtree episode with Dr. Ryan Cole, the pathologist, where they look at that. I remember when I first saw those images, I really thought it was clickbait. I didn't even believe they were
real. Right. I kind of felt that way too. I'm like, no, this is not real. Someone's making this up, right? At first, when I first saw them, I guess I didn't want to believe that someone could do this to somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, how nefarious can you be to harm someone to this degree? And I just didn't want to believe it to be true. But as I'm seeing more and more embalmers come up, I'm like, wait a minute.
Right. It literally was out of a horror movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an aside when you say, well, how you didn't want to believe how evil people could be. I mean, I didn't even assume that necessarily it was evil in the sense of intentional or knowingly negligent. Of course, now we know that all this is true, right? They had tons of data before this thing was rolled out. Even the CDC and FDA talked among themselves, and I have slides of it where they are discussing what the potential adverse reactions to the vaccine would be that they should be tracking. And this is back in October of the October before the rollout, right? So October of 2020, and that's before the childhood trial. So you look at a child like Maddie DeGarry, who was so terribly harmed by this, right? And that was before she volunteered for the trial. They already knew there's very few things more that the vaccine's done than was already on their list. And what was so extraordinary about that meeting is that they talked about the potential adverse reactions in general, and they talked about the need to even track this among ethnicities. You know, does it affect African Americans differently than it affects, you know, Western European Americans? And so,
and they found out that it did. It did. There was more effect depending on what nationality you belong to. And that is also true about Dr. Andy Wakefield's discovery on the MMR vaccine, that it affected boys more than girls, and it affected Black boys more than anyone. Yeah, and African-American. The other thing, he did a documentary on infertility with the tetanus shot. And he found out that these women that were in Africa and in India that were getting these shots, they all became infertile and weren't able to have children. So that's the other thing that really grabbed my heart, because I am an infertility survivor. I did get the vaccine, the tetanus vaccine, in my early 20s. I felt a fundamental shift in my body, but I didn't think anything of it because I had trusted vaccines. So once I got that vaccine, I did feel a difference, but I never put the two and two together until I saw the the documentary like a few months back. And then I was like, wow, could that have been affected me? And so when you find out that vaccines could injure fertility, and knowing on the package inserts from the FDA, if you look at 13.1, none of the vaccines I have looked at test for mutagenesis, meaning changing of your genes, infertility, or if they cause cancer. What do we know about this vaccine, this mRNA? We know it causes infertility. We have seen a high rate of stage 4 cancers just appear out of nowhere. And we definitely know this one changes our genes. It's a modifying RNA. RNA modifier. So they don't test for any of those. I think that's a big deal not to test to see, does this vaccine cause cancer? We have so much cancer in our country. Is it because we've all been vaccinated so much? We're just so vaccinated. Is this why we have such a high rate of cancer? Is this why women are struggling to have children? I don't know. But
wow. Well, I agree with you. I think we'll see a real crisis of fertility coming. I mean, I hope we don't. But I don't see how we can't, given what we already know from this vaccine, certainly if people keep taking boosters. But we've now vaccinated so much of our childbearing generation at the universities. It really...
Including children.
Yeah.
Including children. Did we prevent them from ever being able to have children? I don't know. I mean, well, maybe the body can heal and maybe they can. I don't know.
Right. I think we know that for certain that the vaccine doesn't block 100% people having children, but we also know that things like stillborns, like natal death, where you go to the hospital to have a baby and you actually have a dead child inside, that's up from hospitals that you used to experience that once or twice every few months to now multiple times per month. And that was, it was Dr. Daniel Naga, say, up in Canada, who started originally sort of sent the alarm out on that. And then he was independently verified by a nurse whistleblower in California who released the internal communications of her hospital where they were all talking about this, and the numbers were the same. So imagine going from 2 or 3 stillborns like this every 3 to 6 months to now one a day.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So when I'm walking around my house, I always wear slippers. It's just what I do. And in the wintertime, it's especially needed because it's super cold. And I don't know about you, but bare feet on cold floor just isn't my groove. So let me show you what I do on a regular basis. Okay, so I always buy myself slippers every single Christmas. It's just what I do. And so I got these MyPillow slippers, and they are super comfortable. I am not going anywhere else. From now on, I'm going to get all my slippers from mypillow.com/Amber. And you can save right now, get the lowest price on slippers and save 40% right now. So you can get yourself some if you want something for Christmas, or you have someone in your family that you want to buy for. So make sure you go to mypillow.com/Amber. Use promo code Amber, save up to 66% off, and get these slippers at the lowest price ever. They're super comfortable, super comfortable.
I'm Clay Clark. I'm a very pale male, and you're listening to the Amber May Show. Hey!
So I wanted to introduce you to a company that makes really healthy personal care products, and that is Hero Soap Company. I love Hero Soap Company. This is my favorite scent. It's called The Meadow. It smells amazing. Oh, so nice and clean. You're getting real... so good. You're getting healthy products, because did you know in the personal care products they put a lot of garbage in there that disrupts the hormones and other things? Well, this is all clean products. You're supporting a company that's American-made product. It's co-owned by a veteran, and what I love about this company is they also support veterans and first responders with purchases of their soaps. So if you go to herosoapcompany.com, use promo code AmberMay at checkout, you're going to save yourself some money. So we're supporting a patriot-owned, veteran-owned, American-made soap company right here. We're supporting them. You're getting a discount, and you're getting healthy, clean products to use on your body at home. So herosoapcompany.com, promo code AmberMay at checkout. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
right? That's a huge, I mean, that the order of magnitude of that increase is enormous. And that's just stillborn. That's not, you know, what other effects on fertility and, for example, male fertility may have occurred. You know, Dr. Arne Burkhardt was sounding alarm on that before he died a few months ago. And another thing that about the cancers that you mentioned, we were informed a lot by Professor Sigrid Bachti in Germany, right? Because our origin is in Switzerland. And so we have a lot of European input that was helpful to us. And so Bachti's videos, I remember watching them, and he totally predicted the research, the increase of these cancers. And why was that? Well, it was because, as he explained, the vaccine, if it works properly, in other words, if you administer it properly, so you inject it into the shoulder where it's supposed to go rather than into a vein, right? Which there was too much of that. But it goes into the shoulder. What does it do? It then goes into the lymph nodes. So your lymphatic system is now producing spike and having to be attacked by your immune system, right? Because what does the immune system do? It says, oh my gosh, we have these killer cells. They happen to be our cells, but now they're producing this terrible, foreign species antigen or a foreign species pathogen, which is the spike protein. So the immune system goes in and it attacks these cells. So now your own immune system is attacking your own immune system. Well, what else does the lymphatic system do? It kills cancer seedlings. So if cancer emerges, right, the lymphatic system is the early system to knock that out. And similarly, it's a lymphatic system that suppresses existing viruses, things like tuberculosis and populations that have tuberculosis that's endemic. It'll be really interesting to see if there is a resurgence now of tuberculosis among those populations that have it, is primarily, I think, in Southeastern Asia. Now, another thing going on is that mRNA vaccine, what happens if not all of the mRNA that's in the vaccine are complete, right? There's going to be incomplete mRNA included with complete mRNA. What do incomplete mRNA do? Well, incomplete mRNA code for different proteins. They code for an incomplete spike protein, and those may be cancerous also. So you're really having a double whammy of suppressing your lymphatic system and then possibly also creating cancerous proteins in your own cells. And then, you know, there's these issues of white blood cell count and a whole number of things. So yes, but all of this was known right at the beginning. I remember being exposed to some of this stuff early on. And although I had concerns about fertility, I just thought, they couldn't be making a vaccine and it's this bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why what you're doing now is so important, because it's not like they can stop people who've had the vaccine come and donate blood, because they've taken the majority of our country and our people, and they're vaccinated. So these blood banks would get rid of so many donors, and then there would be no blood, very, very little, even less than we have now at the hospitals. So yeah, we run a risk right now. If we need a blood transfusion, we all run a risk. Am I getting the mRNA blood or am I getting a non-vaccinated blood? And so where you come in is so important. So tell us how safe blood works.
Yeah, well, how safe blood works is that we match donors with recipients. One thing we do is we do a lot of education. One of the best things that you can do is have a living will that says, if I need a blood transfusion, particularly an emergency, I want my own blood to be used first. Hospitals have the machinery for this. It's called auto transfusion. They can put you on it so that you donate to yourself during a procedure, right? Nothing's better for you than your own blood, right? Now, there may be cases, for example, internal bleeding, where a person has to receive a blood transfusion. So what you want to do is, ideally, you already want to be a safe blood member. Like, there's different levels of membership we have. If you just want to donate blood, you can do so by as a donor, and that's a free membership, right? A lot of people who are mRNA free, have been stepping up saying, I'd love to be available to be a donor. Now, you never may never be called on to donate, right? Because let's say one of us is in Austin. We say, I'm A negative. I need an A negative match. We have a bunch of people who are A negative matches, and we need redundancy, right? In case anyone maybe can't make it on the date of the donation. And so so just being part of that pool does it a really great, enormous social good just by making yourself available if needed, even if you never need it.
Then, now I have to ask you this. When I've tried to give blood in the past, I guess I don't have enough red blood cells, iron levels or whatever. I'm just right below. Is that the same with safe blood where there's like certain, you have to have a certain number of iron or red blood cells in order to donate?
Yeah, absolutely. All the normal requirements of blood donation are the same. Okay. It's just that we also are have added to that, that donors, right? To be a member, you don't have to be mRNA free, right? No, nobody's excluded, but to donate, you need to be an mRNA free donor.
Okay.
And then, so let's say you need blood. Well, ideally, if you join up at, we've got an introductory membership, we're just running it for $10 a month. And anyone who joins that is really helping to promote this fight to keep the blood supply safe. And it also means when, if you need a blood transfusion, you're a member, you're in our system. Obviously it costs a great deal more than $10 a month for us to, you know, if somebody does need blood. So we have also sort of founder memberships or lifetime memberships, you could call them, that where it's a one-time donation of $1,000. And then that covers you if you ever need a blood transfusion, that there's no extra costs at all. But the important thing is to be in our system, because if you then find out, say today, I'm going to need, wow, I have a surgery that we need to schedule, say quickly, then we can rapidly match you with someone in your area so that you have that peace of mind in regard to your blood. There's other things too that we're doing with the money that comes in from donations that we receive and from memberships, is we are really looking aggressively at the kinds of testing that we can do to more rapidly and with greater certitude screen the blood supply to find out if is this mRNA or non-mRNA vaccinated blood. And the number of tests that are already been developed, right, that can detect spike, that can detect mRNA and DNA in the blood, was really important. And this is a little known fact to most people, is that we need technology like that in order to be able as patients to ask hospitals, if in an emergency situation, I need blood, how can I be assured that the blood that I'm getting is not loaded with a protein?
Yep.
Or doesn't have mRNA, isn't from a mRNA vaccinated donor. And the only way you can do that is by testing. In an emergency situation, there is simply not time to do directed donation. Directed donation is what we're talking about, where you match. Right now, directed donation is the only way to get guaranteed mRNA-free blood, right? Now, to get, or I should say virtually guaranteed, right? The only way to get what would be guaranteed mRNA-free blood in an emergency situation was if, say, the American Red Cross had said, well, we're designating those, the two different types of donors, and if you want, you could get some from there. But they won't, they don't do that. They refuse to do that, right?
And neither will the big blood banks. At least here, they're not doing that. Yes. Anyone can donate, and they're not differentiating.
Yeah, and they often don't even wait very long till after somebody is through COVID to take blood. So and so you know that COVID, natural infection, and the mRNA both increase spike protein in your blood. Now, natural infection, it's just for a matter of days, whereas we now know that if you've had the mRNA vaccine, that can easily last up to 187 days, maybe longer, right? We know from studies that have been done that found, you know, roughly half of people who received mRNA vaccine on the lower end had it circulating in their system 69 days post-vaccination, and on the upper end, 187. Mm-hmm. I also know from other reports of people who have had adverse reactions and have, you know, spoken to me personally and said, well, look, I was tested a year out. I still had, you know, spike protein in my blood. So I think the more types of research we do on that, the more we're going to see that those lasting quite a bit longer than expected. Mm-hmm. But that means 187 days. So you're 6 months out from a shot, and you're still producing spike, and you donate blood anytime within that window, and you've donated spike contaminated blood. Now, if you've then gotten boosted in between there, what's happening is this boosting is turning people's bodies into just continuous spike manufacturing factories. And that is not good for the individual, and certainly not good for the blood supply. You mentioned the embalmers earlier. Mm-hmm. That was actually they were sort of the avant-garde or whatever, noticing this off of the get-go. And that they originally, had said, we're seeing this phenomenon we haven't seen before, these fibrinogen clots, but there was this anomaly also. From time to time, they were seeing fibrinogen clots that were not from people who had apparently received the mRNA vaccine. And so how did that fit with the evidence? Well, it turned out that those cases were, according to the embalmers, they found out that these were actually people who received blood transfusions shortly before dying. And, we had started Safe Blood, or I should say George Della Pietra had started Safe Blood well before those stories were hitting. But there was no way to know for sure. And it was the tragic death of baby Alex, if you recall, in Washington, that really demonstrated definitively that, yes, you cannot deny that someone who has not received the vaccine is at risk from mRNA vaccine donor blood, because that baby died within days of receiving a blood transfusion, and the clot that Alex died from ran from his knee to his heart. And the reason
sad thing is, they were going to get blood for the child. They only needed like a day or so to get the blood that wasn't going to be mRNA blood.
Yes,
they only needed a day or so, and the hospital just kept pushing it, and then they got the mRNA blood, and that's where this clot from the heart to the knee came in and killed the baby. And I mean, the baby wasn't even very old. It was
a newborn.
I don't know. Yeah.
He was a newborn. And he had a 95% chance of surviving the heart intervention, the surgical intervention for his heart they needed to do. But there was a preliminary procedure. And so they had procured non-vaccinated blood for the heart procedure. But then in the earlier procedure, his levels dropped a little bit low, and the doctor said, from what we understand, just said, well, we're going to go ahead and give him blood right off the shelf. So that 70 to 80% chance of getting mRNA vaccinated blood off the shelf ultimately killed baby Alex. And we know this because that clot that ran from the knee to the heart, well, the injection site for the transfusion was in the baby's knee. I mean, it's not a string of breadcrumbs. It's a direct, direct line. So, and then, of course, that also fits with, I've had other reports. I was just on the phone with a woman yesterday talking about, she was presenting to me the evidence that they have the medical records that her husband was killed by blood transfusions. He had received 22 units of blood over a period of 2 months. And she said every time he got blood transfusion, he got more and more adverse reactions. He had very significant clotting that was very painful. He ultimately didn't die of the clotting. He died of other heart complications, but it was clear, that this was having an effect. And they were amazed because they're going to the VAERS and looking at the VAERS reports, and he's experiencing what's being reported on VAERS. And after he's having these blood transfusions. So there's a really tremendous amount of evidence building up that is showing the dangers here. In fact, something else that broke back in July were the UK insurance claims. And Ed Dowd spoke about those. He's the famous former BlackRock manager who was looking into insurance claims and noticed the huge increase in mortality, all-cause mortality among the working people who should be the most healthy percentage of the population. So now, and there it is right there, hematological issues up 522% in the UK. So that's blood issues. People are having claims for blood problems up 522%. Well, is there any surprise if you know, at least half of people who have been mRNA vaccinated have spike protein circulating in their blood for months after vaccination. Look at that. Yeah. Dermatological up 108%, endocrine, metabolic and thermal regulation up 156%, gastrointestinal 145%. I mean, there, you have to look hard to find something that's not up 100%. Right. I think, you know, we had, anyhow, the list goes on and on there. And you would think if suddenly in 1 year, in 2022, you have an increase of this sort above the trend, 122%, wouldn't that alone trigger a crisis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it should, but we know why it's not, because everybody knows the cause, right?
Mm-hmm. It's and our government pushed it. So everyone is to blame who's in office right now. You know, Fauci never faced the music yet. I hope he will someday. But the Biden administration pushed it. So many corporations pushed it that you're not going to work if you don't get the shot. And so it's a real big problem. So if people are wanting to get involved, what's the best way to get involved with Safe Blood?
Yeah, please check out our website, safeblood.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at safe_blood3 if you want to follow our Twitter feed. But really, the most important thing you can do is go to safeblood.com and get a monthly membership, or get a $1,000 membership if you can afford it. And you really want to be a part of this movement and also have your own blood secured, you know, for any time that you would need it, obviously in a non-emergency situation, since that technology is not here yet, but hopefully we'll be able to bring that about. And, you know, minor children are free, right? So if you're signing up, you're also covering your children. And believe me, every membership that comes in enables us to continue and to advance this work. And so we're really appreciative of our members. And we're so appreciative of our donors who have just stepped up and said, hey, I just want to be available as a donor. I mean, that is a real ministry that these people have to helping others just by being available. So it's a really wonderful thing to do. And we, you know, would love if you check us out at safeblood.com.
Well, thank you, Dr. Ohlers, for coming on our program today, giving us so much information. We really appreciate you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Amber.
In the early 1900s, like 1920s, 30s, you with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at epswealthmanagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, wealthmanagement.com, epswealthmanagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at epswealthmanagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you. Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.